Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damned sinners. And were not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
We are all excited here at LPR. I don't know why it produces so much excitement. It's not like we don't do this every week, but I don't know, maybe the weekend coming, maybe the end of the first week back from being on vacation. Man, I was having some strange dreams last night. Jeff, I don't know if you heard me talking to my mom just a few moments ago. My parents are here visiting and here in the studio. I had some strange dreams. Jeff figured prominently as a rather sinister character in one last night where he came and dumped a bunch of, as we were going into the, I was watching the clock. It said 47, which means it's the last segment, and Jeff came in and dumped a bunch of papers in my office and then wanted me to find whatever sheet he wanted me to read from. He was getting frustrated. I was getting frustrated. Then a bear attacked me. It was a dream. But
was Craig the bear? Or?
Craig was standing talking.
Because you know he can bench press 275 6 times, I think.
I don't know why in my dream Craig didn't come to help me, but you and Craig and a visitor were outside in the parking lot while this bear was attacking me, and you were just standing around talking. I think the visitor was writing us a check, and you were just standing around talking while a bear was attacking me. That's how I woke up this morning from that dream. My wife said, you must be under a lot of stress. I don't know if I'm under any more stress than usual. As I said, we're excited because at the end of the program today, we're devoting the last quarter of the program to Soundbite of the Year. That means not just Soundbite of the Week. That means this entire year, 2010, they're in there interpreting my dream while I'm talking. The entire year of 2010, we've been playing Soundbite of the Week. We take from all the winners the top vote getters from all the Soundbites of the Weeks. Is that the way I should say it? And then we brought them together. There are 5 of them. We let you listen, and then you get to pick not just Soundbite of the Week, but Soundbite of the Year. And because we're feeling especially generous here at the end of the year, instead of just giving away the LPR bundle package to the best vote for Soundbite of the Year, we're going to give away the LPR bundle package, which is already an I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. We're going to throw in the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child, and yes, there's even more. We're going to throw in the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions for the best vote for Soundbite of the Year coming up in 90 minutes here on Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Friday, January the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later in the program, after some listener email and Issues Etc. comment line, blog of the week as usual, Greg Kokel will kick off the second hour with us and we'll answer the question, are there lost books of the Bible? Then, as I mentioned, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Year. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. For the next 2 hours, you can call us. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Soundbite of the Year at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Now, I want people to know about Soundbite of the Year. If they're looking at our Facebook fan page, number one, Brian Wolfmiller's clearly ahead in the Facebook votes. However, that's not the case when it comes to email and people voting via the Issues Etc. comment line. So if you're not a Wolfmiller Soundbite of the Year fan, Don't think that your vote doesn't count.
Yeah, when you see at the Facebook page that Pastor Brian Wolfmiller soundbite is appearing to run away with it, that's not necessarily the case. All the votes count, right?
Exactly. So every vote counts here to LPR, and there we have no hanging chats. So
Craig sees to that.
Craig absolutely sees to that. So we're looking forward to that. And you know, I got to tell you, I think Wolfmiller's been, you know, I'm one of these people who think there should be no politics in the LCMS. Politics is just downright dirty. I just can't believe people do that.
It's just shameful.
It's just shame.
It's a downright shame. Just come out and say it. You think that Pastor Wolfmiller is sitting at home for the last couple days since we posted the sound bites of the year candidates on our podcast? You think he's been contacting friends and family, working Facebook, an email chain, trying to win?
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes. But if we call him on the carpet, he's on the show, by the way, on Monday. If we call him on the carpet on that, here's the response. It'll have something to do with programmatic and business reasons. Some kind of obfuscation that we'll get now that he's a synodocrat. My concern is
it will be one of those LCMS Inc. non-response responses where you ask a question and then they answer a different question.
Exactly.
They give you an answer, but it's not the answer to the question you actually asked. It's amazing. They must have a seminar on that or something, do they? I mean, were you given some sort of orientation when you were put on the CTC?
It's all mind control, my friend. Mind control.
Well, we know Brian's
susceptible
to that. If I
told you how they do it, I'd have to kill you. But you know, I'm worried about our reputation being brought down if Wolfmiller wins, being now, what is it, Board for National Missions or something like that, the big synodocrat position that he has. I mean, if he wins, it's, you know, people are going to lump us in with the institutionalist known as Brian Wolfman Wolfmiller. That's not good for us.
No, it isn't.
Good for business.
We have to.
I verified that with our bean counter, Craig Feichtinger, yes.
We have to maintain at all costs. I mean, it might even require, well, I don't know what it will require, but we'll do whatever it requires to maintain our complete independence.
Are you saying we cheat?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
But we'll do whatever it takes.
Okay. By the way, our den mother here, Carolyn Wilkins here, she's just making us some coffee, and it's not half-calf, so that's good. So good to have you, Mrs. Wilkin. Here, Ma and Pa Wilkin are here from somewhere in Texas to me. One city in Texas, the same as everybody else.
Fort Worth.
What is it? What is it? Steers and queers? What is that, from Officer and a Gentleman? Is it two things raised and come from Texas, or is that Oklahoma?
That's got to be Oklahoma.
What's that?
It's from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, Full Metal Jacket, Steers and Queers. Yeah,
thank you, Roger
Texas?
Ebert.
Oh, don't go there with Roger Ebert. Not going there.
All right, email, please.
Okay, Steve from Montana. He says, I'm an on-demand listener who just finished listening to your show on your favorite Christmas hymn. By the way, disclaimer, I haven't had time to proof the email, so I'm reading this cold today. So that means Craig's going to stay a half hour after the show editing all my flub-ups. I think this was a great concept for a show, your favorite Christmas hymn, and should be repeated at other Christian holidays where music is such a vital part, like Lent and Easter. However, I was disappointed that O Holy Night was chosen by the smartest listeners in radio as their favorite Christmas hymn. I'm not surprised that it was mentioned as a lovely Christmas carol. I'm just surprised that it won because it's a theology that's not very good, probably the worst of any of the hymns mentioned on the show. For example, it says, "Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth." Really? Do we have worth, and do we feel it because Christ was born? Or in the second verse, the King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger in our trials born to our friend? No, he was born to be our Savior and not just our friend. Or in the third verse, Steve continues from Montana, truly he taught us to love one another, his law is love and his gospel is peace. At best, these lyrics are quite insufficient in describing our Lord's mission. Left on their own, they could make people think that Jesus came to teach how to love and get along with each other. I hope I'm not being overly picky here. I'm really not an Ebenezer Scrooge of Christmas carols, pun intended. I like this song from a purely emotional point of view. However, I cringe whenever I hear it in a Christian worship service. I believe that deep emotion should never trump good theology. Keep up the good work. I hope you bring this segment back at Lent and Easter, concludes Steve from Montana.
Well, that's a very good idea for the Lent and Easter. And yes, I was a little surprised that O Holy Night won as well. Of course, whatever the listeners pick is what we were asking for their favorite. We weren't necessarily asking for what they considered to be the theologically best, although I think the two should probably be the same. But not to lay the blame at our listeners' feet here. When you open up a question like, what's your favorite Christmas hymn, you're bound to get all kinds of answers there. I agree. The theology here is questionable at best. I think it can be understood rightly, but that would require an awful lot of context. I don't have as much problem with his law as love and his gospel as peace, because from Christ's perspective, of course, his law does demand what? Perfect love of God and of neighbor. This, I think, we could probably agree on. I do always cringe at the part where it says the soul felt its worth. Although, again, just to be fair, the appearance of Christ has shown, among other things, not so much the worth of the soul, but the worth of the whole body, the whole human being. The worth, of course, is his own life. But it is not that somehow we realize that we're worth something, but the worth is all imputed to us through this Christ child. But again, what I'm doing is I'm kind of Lutheranizing lyrics that just don't quite reach up to the bar. So next time, we'll remember to remind our listeners, think about the theology when you think about your favorite hymn. We had somebody who wanted what? What was the song about bells?
We didn't Silver even, Bells.
Well, we didn't even read the vote because someone wanted Silver Bells, and we're like, well, I mean, I guess that's a Christmas song. I don't know if it's a Christmas hymn.
I blame O Holy Night. Again, there's a feeding frenzy.
Well, you know who I blame?
Yeah.
I blame Bill Swerlock.
Yeah, because his vote, it was nothing theological. He says he voted for it because he loves screeching sopranos singing it. So it's like groupthink. So I blame Bill because just like the Wolf Miller pack on the Soundbite of the Year vote that's going on Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. So Swerla gets in there early, and other people are like, well, Swerla says it's good. By golly, you know, so do I. You know, so I think it was Swerla groupies.
I think you're right.
And truth be told, in full disclosure, it actually tied with Of the Father's Love Begotten, but it won last year, so it picked A Holy Night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We should have gone with the Of the Father's Love. All right, we'll be right back. More email after this. Assistance. If this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues, etc.
The question is not, have you accepted Jesus into your heart, but has Jesus accepted you into his heart? Not, have you given your whole life for God, but has God given his whole life for you?
Oh, so-and-so died.
Look at it the other way around.
God the Father took a precious child to himself.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, because now we're having actual members of Issues Etc. named to boards.
Through Christ, we can be, if you like, sexually re-virginated.
So for Jesus, we go to the places he has appointed: baptism, Lord's Supper, Scripture. And if we look somewhere else for him, we won't find him.
Just a taste of Issues Etc. soundbite of the year coming up in just a little while here on Issues Etc. The last half hour of the program, I mentioned before that we usually give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for soundbite of the week. But soundbite of the year, we pull out the stops. It's the LPR bundle package plus the Issues Etc. book of the month and a pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confession. It's the best vote when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. Now, after some further research and remembering, which we do very slowly around here,
After the long Christmas break.
Turns out I don't have to throw the listeners under the bus, and it's not actually it's actually a technical question as to why O Holy Night was played as the winner of the What's Your Favorite Christmas
Song? Well, Craig
song.
Reminded me, but we're not sure if it was a tie between O Holy Night and Of the Father's Love Begotten. However, we chose O Holy Night.
No, it was a tie. You walked in here,
yeah,
and you said Of the Father's Love Begotten. And I was ready to come out of the break or go in there and say, now it's time to play the winner here, your favorite hymn. And then you looked at the clock and you said, we don't have time to play Of the Father's Love Begotten. And so we went with the other part of the tie.
Right, exactly. We didn't have enough time to play Of the Father's Love Begotten. So since there was a tie, we went with O Holy Night.
The medium is the message. I say this all the time. Even radio, because in this case, because of the constraints of the clock, even radio is sometimes, the medium sometimes affects the message.
Here's an email from Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, regarding the Audio Open Line segment about Pat Robertson's predictions for 2011. Chris writes, I feel bad for Pat Robertson. I really do. He only gets to commune with God once a year. And to make matters worse, he apparently has to climb to the top of the mountain to do so. Oh, thanks for the coffee, Miss Wilkin. That'll be Five cubes of sugar and just a little tad sprinkle of cream. Thank you very much. Craig, how do you like yours? Is that how you like yours?
A little sugar.
Two.
Cream and sugar.
Cream and sugar? Craig, cream and sugar fighting her.
Cream and sugar half-calved fighting her. Where were we? Okay, let's start from the beginning. Why don't we? Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, I feel bad for Pat Robertson. I really do. He only gets to commune with God once a year. And to make matters worse, he apparently has to climb to the top of the mountaintop to do so. Whether this entails an elderly Pat Robertson climbing a literal mountain and working himself up into some sort of mystical state, it really sounds like a lot of work. When he gets to the top of this mountaintop, God is not even physically present. To top it all off, all he is rewarded with are predictions from God that are sometimes vague and sometimes specific. Sometimes they come true, sometimes they don't. When he gets what he came for and the predictions do come true, he describes it as frightening. I hate to break it to Pat, but I get to commune with God every Sunday. That's right, every Sunday. I don't have to climb a mountaintop. I only have to walk from the nave to the sanctuary. When I make it there, God is actually physically present in, with, and under the bread and wine. I'm rewarded not with vague predictions, but rather with forgiveness, life, and salvation. And when I get what I came for, it is comforting, not frightening. Poor Pat Robertson, concludes Chris in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, Chris. See, just when you question whether it's the smartest listeners in radio, because they may have, through a technical snafu, ended up looking like they picked O Holy Night, they are vindicated 100% by guys like Chris in Nashville. Chris, thanks for listening there. It's quite true, but when you have a Christianity without sacraments, without a means of grace, that's what you're left with. And you know the even more tragic thing about that, Chris? And that is, you know, the average Christian can't go do what Pat Robertson did. He can't go to the mountain and get these predictions, guesses from God. Not even that. Pat's one of the only guys who can go and do that. But again, to pick up where Chris left off, you don't have to be a Pat Robertson to commune with God if you know where to find him. And he's told us where he is for us in his word and his sacraments. What's next?
That has to be That goes down as one of the best emails of the decade, if we ever make it that far. That the only thing that parallels that email, I think, is the Van Hagar. Remember the Van Halen thing, David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar email? That's right there with it. That was very, very good email.
Very good. Chris, thank you.
Let's see here. I know I've got something for Craig to respond to. This is Mark. And Mark writes, do I have to go back through all of my Discover card statements, or are you guys actually going to send out year-end statements? Writes Mark.
I didn't read that email.
Well, the answer to that question is, as always, towards the end of the month, all of our donors from January 1, 2010 through December 31st, 2010 will receive a statement for the whole year that they can give to their tax preparer or use it themselves as they do their taxes. And you can take the number that's on there, because I'll add all the donations that you gave us individually through the year. And then it'll be right there in front of you on one crisp, clean, white sheet of paper with an Issues Etc. logo at the top. It'll be worded properly for your accountant, so it'll be all legal and in a...
This is what you do. This right. is your stuff, right?
What do they say? In a bow tie? And, I mean, it'll have everything there for it. So,
good.
But it'll be out towards, probably second to third week of the month. And there you go.
All right, good. I mean, it's nice to know, but people do ask, and the one thing we can say, we cannot say, a lot of things around here, but we can say Craig's on top of it. Whatever it is, whatever it may be, we can always say with complete confidence, Craig's on top of it.
You want to come back to me?
That's why I stopped talking.
Okay, then. I'm trying to look for something short, because you said time is a factor, and we have a comment line one I'd like to get in before the break. Let's see here. Dana in Indiana. I especially enjoyed the show about discussing baptism with evangelicals. As a former evangelical, I remembered what helped me to recognize that infant baptism and baptismal generation were biblical. Once I realized that I could not make a decision for Jesus, then I saw what a gift baptism really is. When I read what Jesus said in John chapter 3, that one must be born again even to see the kingdom of God, and must be born of the Spirit and water to enter it, I realized that God had to regenerate me before I could trust in Him. Then infant baptism made a lot of sense, because God does not require our intellect to be at a certain level before He can save us. Salvation is completely His work, through word and sacrament. I had read John 3 many, many times as an evangelical, but I had been taught decision theology for so long that I couldn't see what the text was really saying. Thankfully, I was able to read some Lutheran theology that pointed me to the truth. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Indiana, Dana.
Dana, thank you very much. You'd be surprised how many of our listeners say the same kind of thing. The Bible's teaching on baptism can be an obstacle for people who have been taught that some part of their salvation depends on them. But when they realize the baptism is the best example of how none of their salvation depends on them, but only on Christ and His work through His Word, then the blinders are removed and they see clearly why someone like Martin Luther could say baptism is the gospel.
Hi, this is Lance in New York. I'm calling in regards to a Christmas encore broadcast of an interview with Dr. Louis Brighton of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, that was on the Incarnation in Revelation. I wanted to thank you for having Dr. Brighton on, and wanted to say that he's a wonderful guest, and the man has an energy that just it's more than palpable. It reaches out and grabs you and shakes you by the shoulders. And in particular, I wanted to point out one section of that segment from 23 minutes and 6 seconds to 23 minutes and 19 seconds that I thought was particularly excellent, and it might be something nice to add to your intro or to perhaps nominate for Soundbite of the Week, even though it is an encore broadcast. To quote Dr. Brighton from that segment, it's awesome. You know it. I just want to again thank you for sharing Dr. Brighton with those of us who don't live in St. Louis. And it's great guests like this that are a big part of why people listen to Issues, etc. Thank you for taking my call.
And that's also precisely why we have at long last been decided to bring those Encore back. We have several different categories. We've got your regular daily audio that you'll see at the website all the time. That's always there, always new, always there on demand. And then this last year, we've been able to bring you both Encore, which is shows since we came back that we play again. We just stick them in there at the website and in our podcast feed as extras. That's what they're there for. And then this year, we also brought back Issues Etc. Classic, which requires a little bit more work on our part, but our listeners really love it. And that is the old Issues Etc. before the whole kerfuffle, the old Issues Etc. edited properly and everything with some of those guests that we can't have anymore because they're not with us anymore or because they're not available to us anymore. And I think we want to continue this because it's just our way of continuing to say to our listeners, especially our on-demand listeners, how much we appreciate them. It's kind of our way of saying thank you on a regular basis to our listeners. And I agree. Dr. Lewis Brighton, a man of deep faith and deep passion. When we come back from this break, more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. We're coming to you live this Friday, the 7th of January. Issues Etc. blog of the week after that. Stay tuned.
In Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's only one abortion mill in North Dakota. It's located in Fargo, and local police are investigating whether or not some of its abortionists were operating without a license. Lori Thorndike and Miriam McCreary are out-of-state abortionists who do abortions there. But both of their licenses expired the end of June and had not been renewed. Now there are accusations health officials made a backroom deal about it while misleading the public. Considering the shady reputation of abortionists in general, it's important to know if these two perform surgical abortions without a license. Many abortion mills have been shut down for being dangerous to women. The North Dakota mill boasts of high professional standards and concern for the safety of women. I guess time will tell.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, January the 7th. By the way, I want to thank Pastor Bruce Kaysman and Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church. Last night, I had the privilege of...
Freeburg, Illinois,
thank you. Last night, I had the privilege of taking the pulpit there for their Epiphany celebration. Great celebration, by the way. They did it as a service of light with Lord's Supper afterwards, and it was a great way to spend my 20th anniversary of my ordination. 20 years ago, Epiphany fell on a Sunday, and I was ordained on that Sunday 20 years ago. And it was just, I was standing there in the pulpit thinking to myself, what a better way to spend the anniversary of your ordination than standing in the pulpit proclaiming the Epiphany of Christ. And I just want to thank both Pastor Kaysman and the congregation there for that opportunity.
You know why I chose Lionel Richie, Hello, coming out of that break? because I cannot imagine
why you chose that.
A conversation earlier this week, Pandora, which is kind of like an internet radio that you kind of program what genre of music you want to listen to.
Yeah.
Craig has a Pandora station, and the group that genre music he wants is Loverboy.
You kidding me?
No, Loverboy. Can you believe it? I mean, here's what I want to know. The women should be knocking down this guy's door. I mean, a guy that bench presses 275 six times and he wants to listen to Loverboy music. I mean, Adrian Dorr, editor of Lutheran Witness, what are you waiting for? You keep saying you're coming over here. What are you waiting for? You better hurry up or L. Feichtinger is going to be long gone.
Cream and sugar cannot last forever. I mean, the women are going to figure this out and the door stays open for only so long.
Todd, you know, I take a lot of grief from you and Jeff, all right? This thing I must respond to. This one, I will respond.
Take it away, Costanza.
Loverboy is just one of many groups from
the
80s.
You are a man of many tastes.
Absolutely.
You diversify your interests.
That's one of many groups from the 80s. I mean, another one you guys give me a ton of grief for. Night Ranger. I mean, I introduced both of you to Night Ranger. How long ago was it?
I mean, I knew Night Ranger already.
Well, okay, I reintroduced you
but
to
only
Night
one
Ranger.
Song. That's only
right.
one
Maybe
song.
Maybe like 6 months ago. And I think we're still reliving the Martian Boogie. Anytime we're looking for bump music, we always bring out Martian Boogie. But all Loverboy is it's a doorway to a genre. That's all it is. I just typed it in. And, you know, you type that in, you get hair bands. It's from the 80s because that's when I grew up. That's the stuff I love. So there it is.
And I must say, I'm impressed with it. I mean, I get to listen to his Pandora all through the day. And so I'm impressed with his picks usually. I mean, sometimes there's some questioning, but most of the time it's pretty good. But I agree with you, Jeff. What is stopping a marriageable young woman right now? What is stopping any woman who knows that this guy's just sitting here waiting? I can't picture what it
I'm
is.
Just shocked that I don't
He's
have
one of those
to...
guys that you meet, and you're like, why aren't you married, Craig? Why aren't you married?
I'm just shocked that he's like not telling me, you know, go get the door, Jeff. It's just another gal. It's just another girl. You know, screen them for me. Tell them I'm not here.
Another one of his honeys. Stuff. Yeah.
Kind of like when the Mormons come by here. You know, Craig's like, Jeff, Mormons are here. Go take care of them. But no. You're going to accept that Loverboy? You're going to accept that rationale, reasoning, especially after he admitted he likes naked eyes, promises by
that
naked
was you.
Eyes. I picked
that
it
was
out,
you. That
but
was
he
you.
Admitted he liked it.
Yeah. Well,
you make me promises.
See, that's what I like about Craig is he won't sing it to
me. You are so wrong. Before you get in here, whatever time you get in here, he sings in the morning. I mean, Fridays are the worst.
Again, ladies?
No.
Our door is open.
No. There are chanters, and there are people who should just read the spoken word. Craig fits in the latter category. But, yeah, so Fridays is usually Keishi, the local radio station. We talked about this before. What do they play? Party Town? What else is in their Friday?
I don't want to work.
I don't want to work. He'll think of it later. He'll think of it later. But, I mean, he sings.
Oh, by the way, folks, this is what it sounds like when a radio show is scraping bottom. This is what it sounds like.
And why should we?
I am the host
so
of Powerless.
We'll never get to.
I'm powerless to stop it.
That's right. Hey, let's see what Angel in El Campo, Texas. Do you know where El Campo's at?
No.
Okay. All right.
Texas
All right.
is a big,
By the way,
big country.
Looked it on YouTube. There is a Steers and Queers thing about Texas from Office, the movie Officer and a Gentleman.
There you go. He said Full Metal Jacket.
All right. So it was. He said it was from there too. But Officer and Gentleman, I think, came out first. So I think they just copied.
You know,
it
but see, him. I'm just. I got to say this, Jeff. Along with the naked eyes thing, this fixation on Richard Gere, I'm just.
Actually,
how does he know what's in Officer and a Gentleman? That is a woman's movie.
Deborah Winger, Demi Moore, best voices in Hollywood.
I agree. Molly Hemingway.
Molly Hemingway.
Yes.
Angel, El Campo, Texas. As an unofficial Lutheran, I'm looking into Lutheran churches. I have come to greatly appreciate the role a pastor plays in the care and growth of God's people. Recently realizing that, I was wrong concerning the Lord's Supper. This appreciation has grown all the more, and I yearn to one day taste the flesh and blood of our Lord. With that said, the 10th article of the small called articles, part of the Lutheran Confessions, shows the problem with preachers yesterday, today, and most certainly tomorrow. In Luther's days, these preachers laid aside all the beautiful things that the church consisted of. They deserted the preaching and teaching of God's word and disregarded the sacraments. To make things worse, they even persecuted and condemned those who actually did what they were supposed to do. We see the same actions occurring today. The pastors who faithfully preach God's word and administer the sacraments are laughed at by those who don't. It is with great sadness that I say these actions will also happen in the future. We must pray that God will set more men who correctly use the Bible, understand the meaning of the sacraments, and love the people of God. Thanks for all you do, writes Angel in El Campo, Texas.
Angel, again, among the smartest listeners in radio. Find yourself one of those pastors who does not scoff at the faithful preaching of God's word and the faithful administration of the sacraments. Stay close to him, and you will be a Lutheran in no time. Actually, she sounds more Lutheran than many quote-unquote Lutherans I know.
William, so comment about baptism. Thank you for your clear commentary and for standing up for the faith. I have a question about your small call articles discussion about baptism. In it, you pinned the biblical argument. Is it pinned or pined? Pinned. P-I-N-N-E-D.
That would be pinned.
Pinned. The biblical argument on Acts 2, in which you said that because the promise is to our children, we should baptize our children. But this cuts the verse in half. Does the verse also mean we should baptize those far off, the part of the verse you didn't quote?
Yes, absolutely.
I have something against the rebaptizers. There is only one baptism, and a person who confirms their infant baptism in faith is not without baptism. But it seems to me that far from denying their children's baptism, Baptists, for all their problems, give their children a baptism they can participate in rather than simply be told about it. Will a Lutheran church rebaptize us if asked? Given what I know of Luther's attitude to the Anabaptists, I doubt it.
No, we wouldn't.
I admit I have yet to read the Book of Concord. I downloaded it and intend to, but I find Lutheranism compelling except for this point. In particular, I love the pastoral forgiveness of sins, concludes William.
William, and do read the Book of Concord. Do please do that, and it might answer some of your questions and your objections as well. But in answer to the two questions you posed, when Peter says, the promise is for you and for your children, all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call, he is giving us the proper target of baptism. All, regardless of age, regardless of where they are, regardless of who they are, it is all. And it's very hard in a passage that specifically has to do with what is about to happen, 3,000 souls baptized. It's very hard to exclude you and your children from that when Peter includes them. So the other question, would Lutherans rebaptize people who received the so-called believer's baptism? No, we would not. If the baptism is done according to the apostolic formula, so to speak, in the name of the triune God, then we see no need to rebaptize. What we do need to do, though, is re-instruct those as to what the nature of their baptism actually was. That it was not something that they were required to participate in or even given an opportunity to participate in. But in fact, it is God's work 100% from beginning to end. As Luther would have put it, it is sheer grace.
Quick email from Tom. I just listened to the podcast of the show today on excommunication/ordination and had an additional thought about the importance of a proper call. One listener questioned that if we believe that it is the word that is what makes the Lord's Supper or baptism effective, then why does it matter if someone is appropriately called? Pastor Asbury's response included that it was not good order in the man's qualifications. He responded that the man was not authorized to do so. I hope that you were going to take it a step further and talk about the responsibility given to a man in the pastoral office for the care of the souls of the people who have been entrusted to him as one who will give an account, Hebrews 13, verse 17. It was a very interesting segment. I just think that the part that was forgotten was that the office of the pastor should not be entered into lightly, and that God has high expectations for the man in that position and gives great responsibility to men in that role. I don't think you did intentionally left this out. I think you were running short on time. Keep up the good work, writes Tom.
Tom, and thank you very much. Yeah, I think it probably had more to do with time. But also, the question was narrowly posed by the listener. Are you saying that somehow a Christian baptism performed by someone not called to do so isn't a baptism? The answer to that question is quite clear from Scripture. Baptism is baptism because of God's work and His word there, not the person who administers it. It's a different question. That was why I was talking about who's authorized. It's a different question. Apart from the validity of the baptism, as to who's authorized by God, by Christ, to do this. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Wait! Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman! Wait! Wait, hey, Mr. Postman!
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for a new year for January. Lutheran Spirituality, it's brand new from Concordia Publishing House. Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. It's got some great authors in there. You'll recognize some of them as regular guests here on Issues Etc. You can find out more about Lutheran Spirituality at our website, issuesetc.org. If you click the book, you'll also get a link to where you can buy Lutheran Spirituality from Concordia Publishing House, or you can just call Concordia Publishing House toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. Just say, I'd like the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, 1-800-325-3040. Time for one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Herman calling January 3rd. In fact, it is about 11:45 p.m. I just finished listening to the on-demand presentation and interview with Terry Mattingly today on the top religion stories of 2010. I want to say that's absolutely a 10 on what he presented and gave forth in his analysis and parsing of the issues on a multiple number of stories. It was just absolutely to the point and overlooked by certainly many so-called establishment news sources and others. The priest issue around the world, the issue being related to the Vatican II impact of the weakening of the Vatican's position. Absolutely brilliant insight. He picked up on the gay suicide issue as really the reporting has not made any tangible factual connection with Christianity and the death of these college students, such as Matthew Shepard and the one out in Rutgers. It becomes a creation of kind of a straw man worked up by the press to say that Christianity did that. This is, and also the parsing on the issues of the defunding of the mainline denominations has been going on for a long time versus the pullback from the economy of other ministry situations, among the other insights. So he certainly fired on all cylinders there. Good job to have him on there. Certainly puts issues, et cetera, and keeps it in the forefront of bringing up-to-date perspectives onto the media. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Terry Mattingly is, without a doubt, an excellent guest, a good journalist. He's also been a gateway for us to a lot of other great guests as well. And he just, well, I mean, in addition to being just a good guest, we could probably talk to him about anything. And he'd be very engaging and entertaining. But when he's talking about religion coverage, he knows exactly what he's talking about. If you'd like to leave a comment, a question, a show suggestion, a criticism on the issues, etc., comment line, it's always open for you 24/7, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384.
All right, time for one quick email here before we get to Blog of the Week. Andrew writes, this has to do with your pastor's roundtable discussion yesterday on ordination. He says, is the Holy Spirit given at ordination? And is there any connection between the Spirit descending on Jesus to empower him for ministry and Timothy being given the Spirit's power, love, and self-discipline to testify of Christ? Thanks, writes Andrew.
Well, the Holy Spirit, there's no explicit promise in Scripture that the rite of ordination confers the Holy Spirit. So the answer to the question is Scripture does not say. And if Scripture does not say, then we don't say either. Where does God give the Holy Spirit? Through His Word. Now, when the word is being spoken, these words of promise, admonition, then when these words are being spoken to the young man who is being ordained, is the Holy Spirit there working? Yes, he's working as he always does through his word. But it's not the particular act of ordination that gives the Holy Spirit in greater measure or different measure than any way whatsoever. Paul talks about the gift that was conferred on Timothy by the laying on of my hands. Now, what is the gift there? The gift is, well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's the gift of this office. Every pastor should regard his occupying the office of the ministry as a great gift and a great privilege, as one of the greatest gifts that God gives and the greatest privileges that God gives. But it is also the gift that he is to pass on, that is, the forgiveness of sins. So I don't think we can say that any greater measure or different measure of the Holy Spirit is given in ordination. Pastors are Christians. Christians have, do they have some of the Spirit? No. Christians have all the Spirit. It's not that I have more than you or you have more than me or your pastor has more than you do. Every Christian who's been given the Holy Spirit has been given the Spirit in his fullness.